Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel story this morning is really chock full of all sorts of different stuff. But I also believe that it contains some of the best good news that we ever get to hear. Because Jesus begins today talking about conflict and about forgiveness. He is showing us that trying to reconcile with our sisters and brothers is really important work for all of us to do. Jesus is showing us the importance of communication and patience, of courage in the face of hurt and suffering. Jesus is also showing us that persistence can be a powerful ally in our pursuit for that reconciliation. And that's really just the beginning of the good news we hear. Now, with full disclosure, this passage from Matthew 18 has been used as a way to kick people out of the church for a long time. There have been congregations and even entire denominations who have codified this process and have set up a kind of a machinery that they would use then to kick people out of the church. It would typically start with a one-on-one conversation, which would then lead to a small group meeting, usually before congregation council meeting happened, so that then at the very beginning of the congregation council meeting, they could vote and kick the person out. Sometimes, to bring about that eventual out-kicking, more and more strenuous and difficult conditions would be placed on the repentance or the apology. So that as you had a one-on-one, it was a simple thing. And when there was more people, it was more and more difficult until you finally brought in everyone and it became an almost impossible thing. As they were trying to herd these people out, some people actually enjoyed that process. They enjoyed the feeling of power that they were getting. They enjoyed the camaraderie they felt with the other group of like-minded individuals. But are they really listening to what Jesus is saying to us today? I'm not sure, because I see amazing good news in this reading. I see amazing good news in what Jesus is teaching us today. Now, part of that good news is that Jesus knows and understands that conflict, confusion, and suffering is part of our lives, even lives as children of God and as followers of Jesus. You see, as Christians, we can still sin against each other. We can be sinned against. Now, sometimes it's unintentional, but it can also be very intentional and very hurtful. Jesus knows all of this. He and Peter just had a moment where Jesus needed to scold Peter. So Jesus knows, and he wants all of us to know that this happens, but that forgiveness is possible. Jesus spends his time today teaching us to talk with each other, to listen to each other, and ultimately to forgive each other. This process that Jesus is showing us isn't a sort of express lane to kicking someone out. Rather, it's a patient process where listening to, caring about, speaking your truth is all very important, and reconciliation is the goal. Not kicking someone out, reconciling. Because in Jesus' teaching, we are to speak to our sisters and brothers one-on-one, and then speak to them with a couple of others, and finally to bring it to the attention of the whole church if necessary. But that circle widens in hopes that the care, the compassion, yes, the denunciation of wrongdoing, all of it, including the offer of forgiveness and hope, will grow wider and wider with each stage. The need for those many different stages in this process comes from our stubbornness and our sinfulness. Oftentimes we are unwilling to admit wrongdoing, and we definitely don't want to admit that we hurt someone. It can be embarrassing to fess up to our foolishness. And that's why it begins one-on-one. But as more are added to the conversation, it's not so that we can increase the embarrassment factor, but it's so we can add to the we're all in this together factor. But if none of that works, if a one-on-one conversation doesn't work, if two or three more gathered doesn't work, if bringing it to the entire church doesn't work, then Jesus concludes that we should, quote, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector, end quote. And that is where the let's kick them all out party gets their authority and their justification for what they're doing. But you see, I believe that that sentence is the heart of the good news in today's gospel. Now, once again, full disclosure, to be honest, for Jewish people of Jesus' day, Gentiles and tax collectors were among the group to be most avoided, if not sent away, with prejudice. The only other group that would have been liked less were Samaritans. Good, pious Jewish people dealt with Gentiles only when they were required to, and they tried not to deal with tax collectors because they did not trust them. All of these groups were often sneaky. They were looking for ways to cheat and to steal or to force their ideas on everyone else. And so to treat someone like a Gentile or a tax collector would be at least to kick them out, if not much worse. But, and this is a great big bold-faced type underline, but it's Jesus who says it. You see, we have to remember that it's Jesus who is teaching us today, and not Caiaphas, and not Elymas, and not Pilate, and not Gamaliel, none of them. It was Jesus. And how does Jesus treat Gentiles and tax collectors? Jesus listens to them, spends time with them, eats and drinks with them. Jesus heals them, forgives them. Jesus loves the Gentiles and the tax collectors and the world around him, and I think that is exactly what Jesus' instruction to us is today. That brother or sister might seem to be unforgivable, but to Jesus that means we spend more time and more love on them, not less. When we are the stubborn and the sinful one, Jesus loves us and desires that we repent. He desires our reconciliation. And this is what Jesus is encouraging us to do. This is what Jesus is teaching us to do today. Jesus wants us to spend our time in fruitful conversation with each other. But if that does not seem to be working, Jesus wants us to find ways to share and show love, even from a distance. It's exactly how God treats us, and we are encouraged to treat each other just like that. Now that is amazing good news for us. Even for those that we are at odds with, it's good news. But it's not the best good news that we get today. Because you see, that comes from the last sentence of our reading today. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Think about that. In moments when it seems that God is far away, in moments when it feels as if Jesus has abandoned us, Jesus is among us. And it doesn't take 12 of us or 20. It's not a minimum of 100, or we can't have a congregational meeting. It's two or three. It's me and the one I've sinned against, or the one who's sinned against me, and Jesus is among us. It is someone willing to listen, who helps to bring the presence of God's love in Jesus Christ to us. It is someone willing to walk with us, help us in our struggle, willing to stand beside us. But it's also all of us here. We who gather in the name of Jesus bring the presence of Jesus and the love of God to one another. That is the promise Jesus makes here today in the gospel. It's one of those amazing reasons that we come together in places like this, at times like this, to worship as we do. Because Jesus is among us. Jesus is right beside us. That is good news, and in some ways it is the best good news. Jesus, our Savior, the one who loves all of you enough to be willing to die for us and rise again. This Jesus is among us right now. This Jesus is among us to give us strength and courage and patience and peace. This Jesus is among us to inspire forgiveness and reconciliation. This Jesus is among us for good. Amen.